This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Conflict comes out of many different areas in our life. The book of Proverbs can teach us how to avoid conflict by looking out for the causes of conflict in our lives. This is especially helpful when we're in danger of being the offending party. Today, Pastor Peter will conclude a sermon titled, Responding as the Offender. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
We have to reach a point where we care more about the person. Pastor Ben talked about this in his message, a saint, a person created in the image of God. We care more about the individual than we care about winning the argument or making our point. And if that really is true, then we're going to want to take action in the conflict, in the fight, to de-escalate and start moving towards a solution to the problem rather than just worsening the problem or irritating the problem with our words. So again, this is a preventative maintenance step. If there's a leak in the dam, plug the hole before there's something catastrophic happens, something you really regret. Okay, I'm going to read, actually, let me back that up. I'm going to take that away, and I'm going to read a couple more texts that encourage us with the reality or warn us about the reality of the dangerous consequences of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 26:17 next. Proverbs 26:17. Again, conflict is damaging. This one is, again, familiar. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. All right. And if you want to think of the real life situation of this proverb in the ancient world, you shouldn't be thinking about a nicely groomed doodle on the swamp rabbit trail. You take that dog by the ears and it's just going to lick you. You'll be thinking of a rabid dog in the ancient Near East in the Medina there. It's probably diseased. He's mangy. If you grab that dog by the ears, there's no way you're not going to get bitten, right? You're going to get hurt. And the proverb is making a comparison between that foolish action, which is only going to cause harm and self-damage, and meddling in a quarrel that's not your own, right? So we might put this in terms, if we were going to extend the metaphor, we could call this the dog in the fight principle. You know, if you're thinking about engaging in a conflict that's not your own, you should pause and really ask yourself, do I have a dog in the fight here? You know, is this really my problem? Some people have said, well, if you're not part of the problem, or if you're not part of the solution, if you're not part of the initial conflict, or you're not part of the solution, it's probably not your place to enter into it. But sometimes these things it's not so easy to think through that. Am I really a part of this problem? Am I potentially a part of this solution? Could I help move this conflict towards resolution? Is this something I should step into? Is this something that I should avoid? In any given situation, you need real and serious wisdom to make that determination. But this is warning us that you shouldn't be, you know, going in loaded for bear, just eager to get involved in other people's problems, because typically that only results in harm, right? So our default switch should be, at all costs, I'm going to avoid conflict because I know it's damaging, it's destructive, it's divisive, it doesn't please the Lord. So I just need to stay out of it, right? And again, this is probably an area where we could all do well to think of our online engagement. Just because there's an issue that's become a problem online and it's widely known, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's my problem. Right, but these things are going to take wisdom. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 18:19 next. And remember, we're talking about the damaging nature of conflict. Proverbs 18:19 says this: A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling like the bars of a castle. So the conflict synonym there is quarreling, dangerous, destructive disagreement. And what this is telling us is, if someone is offended, even a close relationship, a dear relationship, a brother offended, it's like the bars of the castle go up. You know, the battle lines are drawn up, the conflict is entrenched, and you're lobbing missiles at each other. And it's very difficult to work through it. So this just describes for us yet again the dangerous, destructive nature of conflict. It's not something to be desired. It's something to be avoided at all costs, because remember, relationships are precious. They're dear. They're a gift from the Lord. We were made for them. We were made to live in community with the one true God and with his people. They're not disposable, right? So conflict at all costs should be avoided, right? And I think this is where the care about the person more than you care about the issue comes in. So in any given conflict, we ought to be thinking, I care more about this individual than I care about being right or the other person acknowledging that I'm the one who's in the right. We have to remind ourselves of what we were told last week, that the individual is a person made in the image of God, that it's a dear and a precious relationship, and their well-being is what we should be putting ahead of our own needs and ahead of our own interests. And sometimes that does mean that you'll need to say the hard thing. You'll need to speak the truth in love. You'll really need to try to endear the person to you and tell them what they need to hear and what they need to know. But it comes from a heart of concern for the individual, not from a self-centered pridefulness, right? Here's another proverb. And the final reason to avoid conflict. Conflict is socially dishonorable. This is a very countercultural, counterintuitive maxim here, but conflict is actually socially dishonorable. Look at Proverbs 23. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, from conflict, but every fool will be quarreling. What this is telling us is social recognition and gravitas are granted to those who avoid destructive arguments. Even though we live in a society that kind of venerates the person who can just fly off the handle, they're very quick-witted, they can speak their mind, they can reduce the other person to nothing just with a sentence, even though that is sort of generally venerated in our culture and people thrive on that, I think we still also know when other people have crossed the line. And that's what this proverb is warning us against. And it's certainly warning us that the Lord's opinion matters most, and fearing the Lord and what he said about conflict and how we engage with others and how we engage in disagreement. This proverb is a bit ironic. You know, you might think that the way to preserve your honor is to defend it. When someone questions something you do or they insult you in some way, we feel the need to defend ourselves, which often engages us in conflict. But this verse informs us that true honor comes from humility, which pacifies a situation. Actually, sometimes letting your rights or your reputation be trampled, because peace is more valuable than conflict. Right? So a quick-witted person who engages in argumentation, divisive argumentation, this Proverbs warns us, is a fool. Every fool will be quarreling, right? So there's social gravitas from avoiding conflict, right? So the first step is just avoid it altogether. Plug the hole. All right, here's the second piece of instruction. Be aware of its causes. All right, the first step is preventative maintenance. And the second step warns us against common causes from the characterization of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs kind of holds up a mirror and it says these character profiles, if you make these choices, then conflict will ensue. And that's meant to serve as a deterrent. It's meant to serve as a warning and provoke self-reflection. Here's the first one. Again, this one's not rocket science, but temper causes conflict. A lack of self-control. Look at Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Again, the conflict synonyms there are strife and contention. So lack of self-control, flying off the handle, losing one's temper, escalating the problem, just further entrenches the conflict. But the person who's patient, again, the person who speaks judiciously and graciously, they pacify the situation. They restore peace and thoughtfulness. Proverbs also says in Proverbs 16:32, essentially, that someone who rules themselves or someone marked by self-control is better than a warrior who conquers a fortified city. You know, Proverbs has a lot to say about the truly impressive nature of self-control. You know, someone who isn't reactionary, someone who doesn't say the first thing that comes to mind, but they control their spirit and they respond thoughtfully in the fear of the Lord. That kind of person is to be venerated above what we might consider the strong, right? So temper causes and perpetuates the problem. And I think we've all experienced this, right? If conflict is mounting or the pressure's building up and you lose your temper and you say something you shouldn't have said or you respond in a way that you shouldn't have, it just escalates the problem and the problem becomes bigger, more compounded and bigger. And it's even more difficult to bring it back into control and to move towards resolution. You're just piling up. Sin just tends to pile up at that point, which is what Proverbs 29:22 says. So this is the next warning about temper in 29:22. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. So this shows us the cause and effect relationship, losing your temper, inciting conflict, and leads to many other sins. You sin with your mouth, you sin with your actions. There's the tendency to retaliate and get revenge in one way or another, doing things that you seriously regret later. So what are some mechanisms for responding? I think the first thing in our lives is acknowledging the problem. If we've got a temper problem, I tend to fly off the handle. I tend to say things that I later regret and I know that I shouldn't have said. Well, the first step is to acknowledge the problem. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but Proverbs promises the one who confesses and forsakes his sins finds mercy. So beg the Lord for help. You know, if you or I has a tendency to say the thing we shouldn't have said in the moment, beg the Lord for help in self-control. Self-control is one of those fruits of the Spirit that the Lord wants and is cultivating in your life as his child. So beg for his help. I think another thing here would be aware of trigger points. If you know that you have a tendency to cross that line with a certain individual or a certain conversation topic, maybe there's one topic that just really irritates you and you have a very hard time not getting frustrated over it, just avoid it. Be aware of those trigger moments and prudently see the danger and avoid it. All right, the next is pride. Pride causes conflict. Look at Proverbs 13:10. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. An insolent person is a prideful person, someone who refuses the counsel of others. They're convinced that their own perspective, their own ideas are right. They're self-confirmed in that, and they refuse the advice and the wisdom of others. And this is radically cross-grain with the perspective of Proverbs. At the very beginning of Proverbs, when Solomon tells us what he wants to tell us, he says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain knowledge." So Proverbs is saying, even if you're coming to the book and you're already characterized as a wise person or someone of understanding, there's still something to learn. Only an insolent person thinks that, you know, they're the be-all, end-all of wisdom or the source of all wisdom. And there's no input they could receive. There's nothing to learn. And they're automatically right in any given situation. And that's only going to create conflict in your life, in my life, right? If you think that there's no other way to see a situation other than the way that you're seeing it, that is the definition of insolence, of not being able to appreciate the perspective, the wisdom, the knowledge of others. It's antithetical to true wisdom. True wisdom is always open to receive counsel, to receive advice, to receive someone else speaking the truth in love into one's life, right? So that's only going to make the problem worse. So I would say, related to this principle, if you're finding it extremely difficult to see any value in the other side of the problem and what the other person in the conflict is telling you, then you probably haven't understood them, right? If you think that the other person is completely wrong, they're way out of left field, and there's no way that their perspective could actually reflect what's right or what's going on, then you probably haven't come to appreciate their point of view. Right. So this is admonishing us. Don't be closed off to others. Learn to appreciate the perspective of the other person. And that will put you a long way towards peace, unity, wholesomeness, harmony. Right. Learn to appreciate the perspective and the input of others. Pride causes conflict. All right. The third and final vice that we will discuss, and it's one that Proverbs warns against repeatedly, is the vice of gossip. Gossip causes conflict. So there are a few Proverbs we'll look at to make the point. Proverbs 26, 20 through 21, there's an interesting pair here related to gossip and quarrelsomeness. Proverbs 26 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." So we see our conflict synonyms in these verse pairs: quarreling, quarrelsomeness, strife, right? So this is warning against a gossip, you know, so someone who says things, this is, I think, how Proverbs perhaps defines gossip: someone who says things to damage other people's reputations or relationships, right? So spreading information or talking about others to damage their reputation or their relationships. Gossip and slander go hand to hand. They could be true things. They could be exaggerated things. They could be blatant lies about other people. But if the motive of an individual is to say something about another person aimed at damaging their reputation and their relationships, that's a whisperer. And the reason why Proverbs seems to use that term, whisperer, is the one committing gossip is doing it in a way secretive from the individual they're attacking or they're slandering, right? So this verse here makes a comparison, between wood being, or a fire being stoked by wood, and gossip fueling quarreling. When the gossip ceases, the quarreling, the strife, and the contention ceases as well. So it's warning about a gossip, someone who is intent on discord, like we read in Proverbs chapter 6, sowing discord among brothers. But when that ceases, the conflict ceases essentially automatically, right? It's no secret. Gossip disrupts and damages the peace of the community. And because of that, it's despicable and dangerous in God's sight. Right, let's look at another proverb that makes a similar point. Proverbs 16:28. Gossip destroys close relationships. Proverbs 16:28. "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." This is warning against a person who twists and distorts the truth, refusing to accept what God says about what's right and wrong, turning morality on its head. This person causes conflict and damages relationships. Remember, we took a cursory look at this before, but relationships are so precious in the sight of God. I do think that just because of the modern day and the world in which we live, culture or lifestyle, in some ways we've come to think that relationships are disposable. You know, if you miss out on one group of people and you burn bridges over here, you could just go start a new community of people over there. And there's sort of a tendency to do that. But Proverbs is pushing us hard in the opposite direction, that people are made in God's image, and therefore they're to be treated with a certain kind of dignity and respect. And like Ephesians 4 informs us, this is the kind of community that God wants within our church family, among his people, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Gossip or whispering is the antithesis of what we're called to be and do as God's people, and it has far-ranging consequences in our life. So be aware of causes. Proverbs would also say, if you befriend a gossip, it would wisely warn us, wisely instruct us, if you befriend a gossip, then that's the kind of result that you should expect, is eventually you're going to be the subject of conversation. So you need to take note of that and take the necessary kinds of precautions. If this is you, if you find yourself as the perpetuator of gossip or on the receiving end of gossip, Proverbs admonishes us that relationships are precious. They're actually a vital part of our lives. They're very hard to come by, and they need to be guarded at all costs through humility, putting the needs and interests of others ahead of our own, and using our words in a constructive way, the way that Proverbs admonishes us, using our words to build others up, to speak graciously, to speak persuasively, to give a kind response, right? Avoid conflict altogether. Be aware of its causes and take ownership for your part. And that's where we end with the third and the final step for responding as the offending party, taking ownership of our responsibility. Admit your contribution. It's amazing what simply Admitting your part in the conflict does to pacify the situation and quickly move it towards its resolution. Simply saying, I was wrong. I'm in the wrong. Would you please forgive me? I care more about you than I care about whatever it is that we're fighting about or whatever it is that causing this disagreement. This relationship is valuable to me. It's extremely valuable to me. And maybe you find yourself and you really don't know. This is often, sadly, the way conflicts work in our lives. It's not just a black and white. Well, this is very obviously the problem. And we can both see that and agree on that together and just move forward. So often it's more complicated than that. You might not know exactly what the solution for the problem is. The other person might not know exactly what the solution for the problem is. But caring more about the individual and having a solution rather than that kind of destructive, divisive conflict or attacking the other person is the first step and a serious step towards solving that problem. And just being open and honest with the other individual about it. I don't necessarily know what the answer to this problem is right now, but I know that I don't want to sin with my words. I don't want to sin with my actions. I value you and I do want to do what's right in God's sight. I find that when you're engaged in a situation like that, often a great step is just to ask the individual, can we pray together that God would help us see a path forward? Can we just pray that God would help us solve this problem? Because I'm having difficulty, you know, seeing it from your perspective or seeing this objectively. Can we take a minute to pray and ask for God's help, that he would help us see this the way that he wants to see it and that he would provide the solution and help us move forward? Proverbs promises us that whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. If we refuse to confess our sin, we refuse to acknowledge when we're in the wrong, then we won't receive God's favor. But the one who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So we have certainty from the Lord. If we will simply acknowledge when and where we're in the wrong and we turn from it, we'll receive mercy from God. We'll receive his favor, his assistance, and his help. And this is a demonstration of humility, which moves you quickly towards a solution. Remember, pride and arrogance will keep you from the other person, keep you from seeing things their way and from actually solving whatever the issue is. But humility is going to move you towards the Lord, towards the individual, and it's going to start the process of that conflict coming unraveled. And confession of sin is the height of humility. We see this kind of attitude exemplified by David in his Psalm of Confession in Psalm 32, not hiding sin, acknowledging it to the Lord. So the confession of sin, owning your contribution, admitting you're wrong, is a serious step towards bringing resolution, not only before God, living your life to please him ultimately, but in the presence of the other individual. And God promises mercy. He promises restoration. All right, let's pray for God's blessing as we consider how he wants us to move towards other individuals to resolve conflicts. Father, we remember Jesus' words, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." We know that what you're doing in the world, in and through Jesus, is making peace. It's absolutely remarkable that Christ has made peace with us. He made peace with those who were far off, the Gentile pagans. He made peace with those who were near, the Jews, the people of God, that he welcomed us in, that he admonishes us that we should welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. God, we pray that you would help us to be peacemakers and that by doing so, the world would see the powerful reality of the kingdom of God, that God reigns among us, and the peace that should characterize our relationships is a really palpable demonstration of his peace. So we pray that we would receive your blessing as peacemakers. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks, Pastor Peter. Today's speaker, Pastor Peter Cushman, is the pastor for Missions and Connections at Palmetto Baptist Church. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.